Okay.
Okay, hi Michael. Do you mind introducing yourself?
No, hello, I'm Michael Nobbs, and I'm an artist who lives in Wales.
Okay, great. So, I'm going to be talking about your career as an independent artist, and would you say that you're mainly an illustrator?
I kind of think I'm someone who draws. I don't, listen, I think my drawing does look a lot like illustration, but I don't generally think of it as illustration.
Okay.
I kind of come from a drawing background. Yeah, sorry, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, did you, when you first started working as an artist, did you start off on a more traditional path, kind of looking for someone to represent your work, or were you mainly representing your own work right from the start?
I kind of came sort of working as an artist in quite an odd route. I originally did a politics degree, and then much later on in life, when I was about 30, I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome, and had to give up work at the time I was publishing, and I suddenly had a lot of time to sort of fill and not much energy to fill it with, and I started doing a weekly drawing class, and it kind of started there. So I kind of didn't really think about selling work at all at that point. I was just kind of making drawings. And then eventually I started blogging. That's kind of when I started to sell stuff, when I started with my blog. So I kind of think it's not really traditional at all, no. It's kind of an odd route, I think.
Definitely a different path. So how long now have you been full time working for
Well,
your
actually, only
work?
full time since September. When I started to feel a lot better, my health was better, I went to university and studied for an MA, which finished in September. It was a 2-year course. So it's only since then, actually, that I've been working completely independently. I was teaching and studying to kind of pay the bills up until September. And then in September, I gave up work completely and just kind of work for myself now.
Great. And what made you decide to go do an MA?
I didn't have a BA in art, and I kind of felt like I wanted some sort of validation that I was an artist. So I did the course, and oddly enough, now I've done it, I kind of feel like I didn't need to. But I think probably it did give me kind of confidence in my own work because I did it. But not very much has changed really. I'm kind of back where I was before I started doing the MA in terms of the work, kind of the work I'm making. But yeah.
Do they at all address the business of art in the master's program, or do they not?
Not really. And we did a course, I can't remember what it was called now. Professional practice, it was called. And it didn't really touch anything kind of, I suppose it did kind of gear you towards more conventional ways of working, like getting work into galleries and stuff. But it
Right.
was never really something I was interested in. It kind of felt like hard work, and it kind of felt like following someone else's agenda rather than my own, which I wasn't really very keen on. Perhaps fine if you're 20. But I'm 40 and I kind of felt like I needed to get going, really.
Do you feel like working for yourself has given you more artistic freedom?
I think so, definitely, yes. I kind of feel, well, I do what I want day to day. I do exactly what I want, which is great.
And do you feel like you need to work longer hours or work more on different aspects of your career?
I honestly don't know because I haven't done a more traditional way of working. I don't know what it would be like, really.
Right.
I kind of, because I'm still not 100% well, I still have to kind of maintain my energy very carefully. So I tend to work in the morning, have a rest in the middle of the day, and then work in the evening. And I don't quite know how many hours that constitutes. Probably not a huge number, probably only about 20 hours a week, I would have thought, actually sort of in the studio working, I think. I don't know what other people do.
Yeah. So when you're not in the studio working, for example, you have a really active blog, and you've been blogging since 2004, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I'm interested to know, do you consider that part of your creating your art, or is that more the business side?
Well, actually, more and more, I kind of think of it as being art, actually. I didn't used to. Well, I don't know. I don't know what I used to. It used to be kind of something I could do from bed, but I really wasn't very well at all. I kind of would draw in bed, and then I'd kind of post a drawing to my blog. And that meant I could do it, when I couldn't do anything else, which was great for me. So it was kind of an outlet at that point. But I suppose over time, the kind of the way the website looks as well has got more and more important to me. And I kind of like to think of it as being kind of each page being a sort of a little piece of art.
Yeah.
I think I've got a long way to do that, but that's kind of what my aim, I think.
I really was enjoying looking through it because I noticed you, you give pretty deep background story into a lot of your drawings. And do you get feedback from people? Do you think that, do you engage with people on these stories behind your work?
Definitely, yes. Yes, I mean, I've met lots of people, particularly when I really wasn't very well at all. I met a lot of other people who suffered from ME as well. It was kind of people with ME that were coming to my blog rather than people interested in drawing, I think, at that time.
Okay.
And I kind of, it did mean that I kind of made connections that I couldn't have made otherwise, which was really good for me because I was kind of very, very isolated. So it kind of was a very positive thing for me, I think.
So when you did decide to kind of make this into an art career, did you ever find it difficult to start charging for your drawings and to put a price tag on work?
It kind of grew, really. I don't know. I don't mostly sell drawings. I mostly sell books. And kind of books kind of have a price, really. I mean, I do some limited edition books, which kind of I do charge more for. But smaller books kind of pretty much have their price decided. I kind of work out how much it costs me to make, and then I put a certain amount on top of that. I think I'm quite lucky, really. I don't have to make a painting and think, oh God, how much can I charge for that painting? It feels more like it's decided for me, largely.
Right, yeah, that feels more natural, I'd imagine. So you sell mostly, most of your income comes from selling books?
Mostly, yeah, yeah.
Okay, and I noticed you have that.
I do sell.
I'm sorry?
So I lost the thread actually. Don't worry, you ask your question. Don't worry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I noticed that you sell also a journal, Beanie. Is that a magazine sort of thing?
It's kind of a little paperback. It's kind of, I don't know how to describe it really. I suppose you could call it a zine. People don't call things zines really in the UK, but I think it's probably, I think it was a zine. It's a little paperback book anyway. It's about 60 pages. And it's something I was making before I did my MA, which was quite successful back then. And when I started doing my MA, I stopped making it. So I'm kind of getting back into making it. I'm making the next edition at the moment. So I'm quite looking forward to kind of do that, really. Because it feels quite immediate. It's again, like my drawings, it's about my life, really. I quite enjoy making it.
Yeah, so a lot of your work, it seems to be quite autobiographical. So I think that
that
must help make it pretty seamless when you're doing the storytelling and everything. It makes it accessible, I suppose, for people. So you have the blog, and I know you're on Twitter. I think a lot of artists seem to shy away from words like marketing and networking, and it seems like now things like blogging and Twitter are actually more pleasant versions of marketing and networking, and I'm wondering how your perspective on this has changed over time.
I love Twitter. Twitter's kind of my new favorite thing because it means I can sort of in the morning I tend to look for, I mostly tweet about drawing links. I kind of find artists that I like and I tweet links to their drawings online. I kind of can spend an hour in the morning looking for links and I can send those out during the day. And it's kind of a lovely thing that I can do that kind of is really good for me because I discover loads and loads of new artists. But also, kind of, it's a good way, I think if you give people stuff, they're kind of much more willing to want to come and see what you do as well. So while it's not as kind of, it's not particularly calculated, that kind of works, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
And I just love that about Twitter. I mean, I think Twitter's so good for artists.
Do you bring in a lot of new readers and people looking at your art through Twitter?
I think so. I mean, I'm quite new. I've been doing it for about 4 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of come along just as I was kind of sort of starting to work completely on my own work as well. So it's kind of difficult to know quite which is which, but I do think Twitter has made a big difference. I mean, I've met loads and loads of people through Twitter. It's kind of, it's weird, isn't it? Because when blogging first started, it felt really immediate because you could write a blog post and, you know, stuff would, people would comment and stuff. But it's still, it compared to Twitter, it still took quite a long time.
Yeah.
Whereas Twitter, it's instant. I think, oh gosh, where can things go from here? Can things get faster? I don't know. But I just love that kind of interaction. It's just great. And you can kind of dip into it too, which is wonderful. I mean, you know, I've got a computer in the studio, I can sit down and write a couple of tweets. It doesn't have to be something that has to kind of be timetabled, which I think is great.
Right, exactly. I think that makes a big difference when you're doing your art or something. You don't have to put aside hours a day to get sucked into it.
Exactly. Though you can get a bit obsessed, as I've discovered. It's quite easy to get completely lost in it. But I'm trying to kind of let it just be going on rather than something I'm just doing, just doing that. I kind of like it to be something that's happening while I'm doing other things if I can.
Now, going on what you said about giving things to people, I think the internet seems to make it very easy to give away a lot for free and just exchange information. And I think that's changed a lot of the dynamics. And I noticed you have, for example, on your Flickr page, you have different images available and you have some downloads. So, what's kind of your philosophy about what you give away and what you make available for people to use however they want?
It's kind of changing, actually. I used to be really precious about what I did, and I'd stick copyright notices over everything. And I kind of, when I see artists that do that now, I think, of course, that's a bit mean, really. Because people are going to take your stuff if it's there. You can't stop them. And much nicer, I think, to say, help yourself. And I kind of think if you build up that relationship with people, it kind of becomes a long-term relationship. People are much more willing to kind of engage with you. It's interesting, I was thinking the other day that I think everything I've sold, pretty much, even books, I kind of sell to people that I feel like I know. There's very, I mean, occasionally people do come and buy something for their first visit on my blog, and so they come and buy something. But that's quite rare. It's kind of people that I recognize people's names, I've spoken to them on Flickr or Twitter or on my blog in my comment section. So it's kind of, I was talking to a friend and saying, well, I only really sell things to people I know, and he thought that was mad. And I couldn't make a living out of doing that. But I kind of think, you know, because of the way the internet works, you can know an awful lot of people, kind of, you
Right.
know, at a certain level. And I think that does, for me, seems to be what works.
Yeah, it seems that the community aspect is really strong for your network. So do you mainly focus on Twitter and Flickr, or are there other social media networks that you use?
I've actually only really started using Flickr again quite recently, the last couple of weeks. I'd always forgotten that Flickr was there, actually. So I'm quite interested to see how Flickr works as a social network. I hadn't really thought of it as one, you see. I kind of thought of it as somewhere you just put images. But I'm kind of realizing that people do talk on Flickr, which is great. But kind of blogging was really all I did, and then I discovered Twitter, and that's kind of what's happened. I've got a Facebook account, but it's mostly friends here that know me on Facebook, and I've kind of wondered about sort of opening Facebook up to people sort of in a wider way, but I'm not that wild about Facebook, really. It kind of feels complicated, and
Right.
Whereas Twitter's just what it is. Twitter is just one thing, and I think that's what makes it work so well.
Right, cut straight to the interaction. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, on your website, it seems like you sell most of your work straight from your website, or is it through a different service?
No, mostly. I mean, I've thought about, again, I'm wondering how to go about this in sort of future times. But at the moment, I print most of the stuff I do myself and sell it myself through my website. I'm kind of thinking for my next issue of the Beanie, I'm going to use not Lulu. There's another one, Blurb, which is kind of a print-on-demand system. You can upload the files, and then they actually print when people buy, and they handle the distribution as well as they post stuff to people. And I kind of think, for me, that might work really well. I can make the book, and then I don't have to think about posting it, because I spend a lot of time wrapping stuff up and going to the post office. And that's quite hard work, really.
Right. I imagine it's quite time consuming.
Exactly. So I kind of like the idea of print on demand. So I'm going to try that next. And I've also got a couple of two or three pieces of work with a website called Thumbtack Press, which sell
Thumbtack
prints.
Press.
Yes.
Okay.
And I've again, that was something I did a long time ago, and occasionally sort of bits and pieces trickle in from that into my PayPal box, but you know, mostly I haven't really pushed that. I don't have a link to it on my website or anything, so I don't quite know. I might, again, something I might explore a bit more of, really. I'm kind of feeling my way at the moment, I think.
Yeah, well, it seems like you're feeling your way pretty quickly.
I hope so. I hope so.
So, as far as originals versus prints, is most of the stuff you sell is or give away on your website, is it mostly copies and digital work and prints of that?
It is. A lot of stuff I make is digital. Well. I do draw on paper as well, but I do quite a lot of work on the computer, so it kind of blurs the idea of what is original and mm-hmm. what's digital. I think I kind of often print a half finished drawing out that I've started digitally and finish it with pen and ink. So then there is only kind of one copy of that. But other stuff is kind of, there could be as many copies as you like, really. And I'm sort of toying with the idea, especially with books, of making a very limited edition of sort of hardback, really good quality paper that would be signed and editioned mm-hmm. of books to kind of alongside the kind of more, the cheaper stuff that you can, especially I do use on-demand service, that kind of can be bought online and get delivered to you. So it kind of maintains the connection with the idea of something being limited rather than perhaps original, I suppose.
Right. I think the web seems to change the whole concept of original for a lot of artists.
It does, yeah, it does. When I was doing my MA, I was really lucky that we had this huge, huge printer that printed kind of, I think it was about 5 foot across at least. So it was too expensive to print lots, so you probably would just print one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of, it's not an original because, of course, you know, you could make another one, unless you destroy the file, of course. I don't know. It's kind of, I've never quite known how to kind of think about that, really, with digital work. I've not really come to a sort of satisfactory conclusion for myself about it.
Yeah, I guess you're kind of shifting with the transformation now.
I guess it's kind of happening, isn't it?
So, you said your income is mostly from books, and are there any other related projects to your art or something separate from the actual things you create?
Not really. I mean, I do some teaching, but I haven't for a while, which kind of, most of my income was from teaching before I kind of gave that up. And I kind of would look for more kind of bits and pieces of teaching, or perhaps lecturing, kind of one-off things, I think, mm-hmm. workshops, rather than kind of being involved in an institution on a full-time basis or even part-time basis. I kind of would take things, one-off things occasionally. And someone's asked me to teach a workshop on, actually for writers rather than artists, but how to use the internet, how to kind of market themselves and how to make money out of the internet, I suppose, which I'm kind of thinking about how I do. I don't quite know how I'll do that yet, but I'm definitely interested in doing it. So bits and pieces like that, yeah.
Yeah, little small side projects. Have you found it difficult since going full-time as an independent artist, or what financially have you been, has it been pretty stable?
It's kind of building. I mean, I'm very lucky that my partner can support me up to a point. So when I first gave up work, it didn't matter too much that I didn't have any income at all. And increasingly, I'm getting more in. And I kind of, my aim for the sort of this time next year is to sort of be earning kind of what I was earning before I gave up work. I don't know how possible that is. I don't know. But I kind of think if you picture an aim, kind of it's something to aim at, and often things pictured well kind of do somehow come to fruition, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Right, and with all these projects going on. Yeah, actually, I mean, you haven't been independent for that long. It's only April, so I guess...
Exactly, so yeah. Sort of 7 or 8 months, isn't it, I think? Yeah, so yeah, not long.
Yeah. Another thing I was wondering is, when you start on these online networks and blogging, is there a particular audience that you imagined connecting with, or did you think it was better to just put yourself out there and see who could relate?
I kind of think, I don't know, when I first started blogging, I probably did picture that kind of people interested in drawing would be the people that would come and look at my website, but it wasn't. It was people that had the same illness that I had. So I think you kind of can't really plan ahead very well. Mm-hmm. Actually, I didn't actually seek out those people either. I think the wonderful thing about the internet is when people do find you, they can tell other people. So you can't really decide where that's going to go. So I think I'm just pleased whoever comes along, really.
And have some of those connections online led to opportunities in the real world?
Do you mean in terms of selling stuff or meeting people
Yeah,
or?
or anything, exhibitions or meeting someone through the internet who asked you to do a workshop, that something like that.
I'm not sure if kind of workshops and stuff have grown out of the internet. Certainly, as I was saying, I mean, most stuff I've sold has come kind of through people I've met online. I kind of think real world kind of physical going somewhere to do something has kind of really happened. I don't know, actually. That's interesting because people do usually know about my website, but of course, because you're working locally, it tends to be local people. I don't know, actually. I've never been asked to go anywhere exciting like New York for my website. I wouldn't mind. If someone in New York would like to offer me a workshop, I'd definitely go and do it. So that would be good.
Yeah. And have you done local exhibits or exhibitions?
Some, but again, I've never been particularly interested. I kind of thought I had to exhibit stuff, and I think, I mean, part of doing the MA was about having two exhibitions, so it was kind of the point of it, really, I suppose. But it's not really interested me that much, and it kind of feels, when I first finished the MA, or as I was finishing, I was thinking I've really got to line up some exhibitions, and I kind of thought, well, I don't know if I want to really. I kind of much prefer working the way I work, so I'm certainly not actively looking. I mean, I have in the past when I was kind of sort of between when I first started drawing and before I did my MA. I did probably three or four group shows. I was For a while, I was part of a group of artists here. But again, I think I'm probably just a bit of a loner, really. I kind of do like to be in charge of my own agenda. And kind of as soon as you start working with other people, you're kind of caught up in other people's stuff as well. And because I've always been someone particularly interested in sort of print and design and web, I was always the person that people would ask to make websites for and design brochures for and kind of make catalogues for. So I was kind of doing all that, giving an awful lot of that, and not really having time to concentrate on what I wanted to be doing. So I kind of made a decision to kind of withdraw from all of that, really, and be selfish and do my own stuff.
It's interesting. It's a trend I've been noticing in these interviews, is a lot of people have said that they actually just didn't want to exhibit, that they realized it wasn't their aim anymore. And I think that's it's really indicative of this big shift that the internet is allowing to happen.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, you kind of, I suppose with things like Flickr and what blogs as well. I mean, you're kind of exhibiting all the time. But I like people to see my work. It's not I don't want people to see my work. It's just kind of all the other stuff that goes around exhibiting. The kind of the expense as well, of course. I mean, you know, framing stuff, getting it somewhere, usually getting it back again, having to unpack it and think, oh, that's cost me lots of money. Whereas it's free. I mean, the internet by and large is free, and I just think, you know, it's a bit of a no-brainer, really.
Now, for artists who are starting off, I mean, you got a very early start blogging, but for artists who are already creating art but haven't put an online presence yet, what would you recommend as kind of the first steps, the first things to do to start connecting with people online?
I kind of think it feels an awful lot of artists kind of make a blog, it's quite a Blogspot blog, stick some pictures up, and kind of think that's it, really. It kind of really has to be an engagement with people. I do think you have to kind of get back to this idea of giving something, rather than just be talking about yourself and your work all the time. Kind of try and find a niche, something that you're genuinely interested in, something that you can share with people, and kind of make that your focal point, really, online. And I kind of think that way people will engage with you and want to come back and see you again, rather than just say, here's my latest painting, it's $600, will you buy it, please? Which an awful lot of people do, I think. And a lot of people, because of the stuff I Twitter drawing links, a lot of people just send me the links to their stuff they're trying to sell. And I just think, well, why am I interested in that? Unless I love it, why would I be interested in that? Whereas if you kind of send me links to other people that you like and kind of we build up a relationship, I just think that kind of works a lot better, really. So by all means, make a blog. But kind of think about what you're really going to put on it rather than just filling it with your own work. I mean, not saying don't put your own work on stuff. I mean, do. But kind of just don't make that your kind of the whole focus of what you're doing.
Yeah, I guess it's a sort of a way of building trust with your
I think so, yeah. I mean, the same with Twitter. I mean, you know, so many people sort of send auto direct messages. When you follow someone on Twitter, they'll send you this direct message arrives saying, here's my stuff, buy it. And I just think, well, why would you? Why would you want to do this? I just think, unless it's something, unless by some miracle it's something I've been wanting to buy, they kind of go, oh yeah, that's what I wanted, and there it is, I'll buy it. But I just think, no, just send me, you know, let's have a chat for a while
Oh,
and
yeah.
see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. I guess on a final note, I'm just curious if there's anything in particular that's been difficult to change or to process as you're growing your career online and with your art.
I do think motivation's kind of difficult, because I mean I live in a very rural place as well. I mean, I don't know what other people are. It takes me about 20 minutes to drive to kind of a place where there are people. That probably doesn't sound a lot for most people, but for me, it kind of means some days I won't do that. So I'm kind of reliant on myself quite a lot, and that's quite difficult. And because I'm not 100% well, I kind of have to manage my energy as well. So it's kind of a balance between, you know, having a social life and having work as well. At the moment, I'm kind of concentrating a lot on my own work, which can be quite lonely, I think. And it's quite difficult to maintain that kind of the momentum necessary to keep doing that. But I guess that's the same for anyone that works by themselves.
Yeah, I suppose it requires an active effort to balance that. Yeah, I guess, is there anything else that you wanted to talk about or bring up?
I don't think so particularly. I mean, I would say that I wouldn't want to do anything else or do it any different than I'm doing it. I feel really excited at the moment, the way sort of the internet's changing and the kind of the way that you can kind of interact with people. I just think it's such a huge opportunity for people, and I just feel really, really lucky that I'm kind of around doing it now, I think. You know, I can publish my own books and I can sell them. Well, that's just wonderful. I mean, you know, even 10 years ago, when I first started publishing, I was still self-publishing. I was publishing other people's short stories, and it was a huge outlay to do that. I actually made the mistake the very first time printing this huge print run of books that I was convinced people would buy, without really any way of selling them. And then I had a miserable 2 years trying to get people to buy these books. And now, especially, I do think, well, I haven't tried it yet, but I do think that kind of what I see other people doing with on-demand printing means, you know, that's completely gone. You can kind of send off. You know, you can make a beautiful book, you can kind of have it printed and the quality's great, and there's no outlay, or hardly any outlay, and that's just so many opportunities. The only reason you wouldn't do it is because you didn't want to do it. But it's just great, there's no one there saying no, so I just feel very, very lucky.
Yeah, it seems I get the feeling that you feel like you can try more things because there's not as much to lose when you're doing it this way.
Exactly. And it's just great that I mean, I'm very lucky that I've got the time to do that as well. I mean, you know, someone working full time with kids wouldn't have the time to kind of do this. I'm in a very, very fortunate position that I can do it. But I just think it's great that I can. I just hope other people get to try as well.
Yeah, that sounds excellent. Well, thank you so much for talking to me. It's been really interesting learning more about your work.
Great, thanks, Zoe.
And I'll be in touch about to follow up on this interview.
Okay, that's great.
Okay.
Thanks for your time.
Okay, bye-bye, Michael.
Bye-bye.